Hare Krishna, we are welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. We are extremely fortunate to have His Grace Krishna Dham Prabhuji here with us today. And Prabhuji will be enlightening us by walking us through Srimad Bhagavatam 4.25.49. And before we jump into this nectarine call, I would request Srinivas Prabhuji to please read a brief introduction about Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, this is Srinivas. Please welcome His Grace Krishna Dhan Prabhuji. He is a senior brahmachari and a full-time preacher at ISKCON Nasik since 2008. He is presently the president of ISKCON Nasik and looks after youth preaching activities in Nasik. As the founder and director of the Samruddhi School of Leadership, he has been stressing on how crucial it is to train and guide the teenagers. His recently published book, Get Set Go Students Success Handbook, is highly acclaimed for its lucidity and a practical guide in Krishna consciousness. His motivational speaking has struck chords with many industrialists and also youth in bringing all to the platform of Krishna consciousness. His seminars and courses based on Vedic scripture have found a niche among corporates and colleges across Mumbai. He is also the committee member of Gopal Garden High School. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble as glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for your valuable time and association this morning and enlightening us with the Bhagavatam class. Please take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, are you on the call?
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. You're able to hear me?
Yes, Prabhuji, we can hear you.
Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijanasahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Tanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Rama Hare So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4 Chapter number 25 and verse number 49. Mukhya nama purastadas dvastaya pana bahudanau vishayo yati purarada rasadnya vipananvitaha. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The fifth gate situated on the eastern side was named Mukhya or the chief. Through this gate, accompanied by his friends named Rasadnya and Vipana, he used to visit two places named Bahudana and Apana. Purport. The mouth is here described as chief or the most important gate. The mouth is very important entrance because One has two functions to conduct with the mouth. One function is eating and the other is speaking. Our eating is done with a friend Rasadnya, the tongue, which can taste so many different types of foods. The tongue is also used for speaking, and it can speak of either material sense enjoyment or Vedic knowledge. Of course, here material sense enjoyment is stressed. Therefore, the word Rasadnya is used. So, welcome to all of you. Previously, I used to give these classes on FCC and other forums, but first time I'm using this Zoom, not accustomed to it much. We still conduct our meetings on Google Meet and other platforms, but I was asked to speak using this forum. So I hope everything is fine. You're all able to see and hear me as well.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. So what we are reading, chapter number 25 actually, is the description which Narad Muni is telling King Prachin Barhi, and an allegory, an imaginary story of King Puranjan is being explained here by Narad Muni to Prachin Barhi. Actually, Prachin Barhi is there in his kingdom, and all his sons Prachitas have gone for performing an austerity. Lord Shiva has guided them, and Narad Muni comes to Prachin Barhi, and seeing him too absorbed in his materialistic activities, he creates an imaginary story. Actually, it is the story of his own self, the story of King Prachin Barhi only, but just the name and the things are a little different. So he's narrating, and it's a fake character, Puranjan. We see that Narad Muni has different styles of preaching to different personalities. We see that how he preached to Nalkuvir and Manigriv. They were absorbed in sense gratification altogether, but he didn't preach them much. His way of preaching was cursing them, because they were absorbed in sense gratification and dhanadav, madamattav, kuberatmajav. They are sons of Kubera. They are proud. They need to be punished and they need to be cursed. So he cursed them to become trees, but not the trees, ordinary trees, but in the court of Nanda Bhavan. So he cursed them, and then later on they had darshan of Krishna. And Krishna, while going there, he was thinking that, no, Pura Narada Shapena, they have been cursed by Narada, so I have to deliver them. So just by, because Narada has cursed them, and Krishna, who was Damodar at that time, literally bound by the ropes of Mother Yashoda, he thought about the words given by Narada Muni, and then he went there and liberated them. So through cursing, he bestowed his mercy on them, Narad Muni. And when he met Mrigari, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter number 24 describes the transformation of Mrigari. So there, Narad Muni meets Mrigari, and the style of preaching is totally different here. He was half killing the animals. Ardhamara jiva yadi dhadapada kare tabeta anandamura bhade antare. When Narad Muni asked Mrigari, why do you half kill? So he says that when I half kill these animals, then ardhamara jiva yadi dhadapada kare. When I half kill them and they are suffering, they're in disturbed situation, they're perturbed, then tabeta anandamura bhade antare. It gives a great pleasure to me. So that kind of happiness he was deriving from half killing animals. And then Narad Muni said, please do one favor to me. Oh, Narad Muni, what do you want? I'm a hunter. I can give you all sort of Mruga Charma you want, Vyaghra Charma you want. You tell me, I'll give. And then Narad said, no, I don't give me anything. I just beg you of one favor. Please fully kill these animals. Murugari was taken aback. Oh my God, what's happening? He's asking me to fully kill. No one has yet asked me such type of favor. And then he said, why are you asking me this? And then Narada tells, actually, he gives a future vision that you are killing so many animals. Actually, all these animals are waiting that in next life, they will murder and kill you. So showing the future vision, Narada Muni transformed Mugari. So that's the different techniques Narada Muni uses. And when he met Ratnakar, who later on became Valmiki Muni, different preaching strategy altogether. He said, chant the name of holy names of the Lord. I cannot. Ratnakar said, okay, you have been engaged in the business of killing, and killing is jise kehte na marna katna. So mara, you are accustomed to use this word mara. So you keep chanting mara, mara, mara. So that was the name given, mara. So mara, 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 mara became Ram, 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 Ram. And his heart was transformed by the mercy of Narada Muni. And when he met sons of Daksha, Haryashvas, to them he just asked questions. Praheli, in Sanskrit it's called as Praheli. He just asked few shlokas, just asking some questions. A questionnaire was put forth in front of them. And by answering those questions, 10,000 Haryashvas became devotees of the Lord immediately. And two Shavalashvas, the next batch of 1,000, their brothers. To them, Narada Muni just said that, the duty of younger brother is to just follow the older brother. And they also followed, and they became brahmacharis. So Daksha was panic after this. So all these Haryashvas, just by questions and asking the questions and asking them to answer these questions, and Shavalashvas, by just asking them to follow their seniors, Narada Muni preached them. And here to Prachin Barhi, Narada Muni is just asking, or basically he's telling the story of unheard story from nowhere. A fake character Puranjan married to some lady named Puranjani, and the body of city is described having gates and all this. If you read all these chapter number 25, 6, 7, you will not understand anything if you don't read purports. Basically, the whole analogy is clarified. Actually, when Prachin Barhi heard, he said, I'm not able to understand anything. What are you talking about? And then in chapter number 29, basically, whole analogy is made clear by Narada Muni, that what is what. And when that is clear, then he came to his senses and immediately he renounced everything. Basically, Srila Prabhupada writes in all the, right from this 25th chapter, Prabhupada has started mentioning in the purports itself, what does this mean, which Narada Muni is going to tell in chapter number 29. So basically, Prabhupada is, when we read Prabhupada's purports, then the allegory becomes very, very much clear in our minds and hearts. So therefore, reading purports is very important actually at such times. So what is under discussion is the city of nine gates. Actually, it starts from verses 45 of this chapter 25 and goes on till verse number 55. The whole series of verses, these 10-11 verses, they talk about the city of nine gates, basically our body. And gates are nothing but the senses, that how Puranjana, after getting married to Puranjani, he engaged himself into sense gratification, and how these senses, they run towards the object of the senses, that is being explained by Narada Muni. And the verse which we are discussing today is the verse number 49. The fifth gate situated on the eastern side was named Mukhya or the chief. Mukhya, Mukhya means two meanings are there. Mukhya means the important, the chief one. And Mukhya also means our face. It's called the Mukha. And through this gate, accompanied by his friends named Rasadnya and Vipana, he used to visit two places named Bahudana and Apana. So basically, herein, Narad Muni is telling that all these gates, he is describing about all these eyes, nose, and he is also mentioning about the friends who are accompanying the senses. So, friends accompanying the senses, they are basically the tanmatras, how the sense goes, and the destination where they would go, that is also explained. So the destination for the sense is the sense object. And what is the connection? The connection is tanmatra. Basically, there are five tanmatras: shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha. So five tanmatras, they attract the senses towards the sense object. So they are called as friends who accompany the senses, and sense object are called as the destination of these senses where they would go. Now the mouth, Srila Prabhupada write in the purport, that mouth is described as the chief or the important gate, the most important gate of all these nine gates. It is very important entrance because one has two functions to conduct with the mouth. What are these two functions? Basically, the function of the mouth, we can say the mouth, all these other gates are also located in the mouth only. The two eyes are there, the two ears are there, and our mouth is there, the tongue is there. So basically, mouth can be called as the hub of knowledge acquiring senses. 1, 2, 3, 4. And even the skin is there. So almost all five knowledge acquiring senses can be found, can be located in the mouth. So therefore, Prabhupada writes, is the most important gate in the first line of the purport. And there are two important functions of this mouth. They are speaking. So here in the accompanied, the friend is Rasadnya and Vipana. Rasadnya means the tongue. Vipadnya means the voice. So the tongue and voice. And destination is Bahudana, means eatables. And eatables for the tongue. Eatables are the sense objects. And Apana, for voice, speech, speaking something is a sense object. So in general, basically, our senses can be utilized for two purposes, either sense gratification or Krishna's pleasure. Either of the two we can do with our senses. So therefore it is said, senses are the cause of our bondage. At the same time, our senses are the cause of our liberation. If we use our senses for our own gratification, then they will bind us to the cycle of birth and death. And if we use the same senses for the pleasure of Krishna, then those same senses, they will liberate us from this cycle of birth and death. Kaviraj Goswami, while differentiating between kaam and lust, kaam, that is lust, and prema. So while distinguishing between kaam and prema, Kaviraj Goswami gives this wonderful shloka wherein says, Atmendriya Prithivancha Tarebali Kam Krishnendriya Prithivancha Dhari Prema Nam. Desire to gratify one's own senses is called as Kama or lust. And desire to give pleasure to Krishna's senses, that is called as Prema. So satisfying one's own senses is kama, satisfying Krishna's senses, working for satisfaction of Krishna's senses, that is called as prema or love. So basically these senses are nothing but tools which can be used. So the purpose for which it is used will determine whether that person will advance or that person will degrade, upgrade or degrade. So the usage defines basically. The tool in and itself is neither good nor bad. The tool is neutral. So the senses we have, they are neutral. So they accompany their friends. Who are they? They are tanmatras. Shabda sparsha roopa rasa gandha. They accompany. So with their friendship, then we look for some sense gratifying object. Then we go towards them. Senses in and itself, like themselves, are inert. They're like dull matter, like our eyes. In one sense, it's like a mobile has a camera, laptop has a camera. So it's just like a camera. The camera can be used to click any kind of photo. So similarly, eyes can be used for any kind of, but it's not that dull like the camera of a mobile, because it doesn't have chitta, it doesn't have consciousness. But because we have consciousness, because it's a symptom of a soul, the effect is more. The same eye on the dead body, the eye is there and it has the potential, the ability to see. But when the person is not able to see, you show all kind of scenes to the person who is dead. The eyes will be able to see. The eyes are seeing everything. But that is not registered. And therefore, there's a concept called as netra dana. When the person who is dead, he donates his eyes to person who is living, the same eyes which are not able to see on the dead body, the same eyes, when they get connected to some living force, chetana, then they're able to see. Right? So they are able to see now. So basically, chetana, so these gates actually is like the expression of the soul. How the soul interacts in this world, its soul is basically entrapped in the subtle body, man, buddhi, ahankar, chitta. It's subtle. And this subtle body interacts with the world through the gross body. So therefore, the more we try to connect these senses to Krishna, trying to fill our existence with Krishna, the more there are chances of uplifting our consciousness. And the more we gratify these senses, there are more chances of degrading our lives. So therefore, the use is more important. Senses themselves are inert, as I mentioned. They can't harm you. Senses can't harm us. What can harm is the desire generated within the heart, and the same desire generated within the heart to please Krishna. Like same thing happened when Ramanand Rai came to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. This description comes in Madhya Leela, that when Ramanand Rai came to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then actually when we go to Dham, what we do first is to take darshan of Lord, right? And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramanand Rai, did you take darshan of Jagannath ji? He said, no, I straightway came to meet you. And then Mahaprabhu asked, why did you do that? And then he says that, he gives the analogy. Ramanand Rai gives the analogy. He says that heart is the rathi, and where the legs are taking, there the heart follows. So basically, he said that my legs are the just like a chariot, and my heart is the chariot driver. So basically, they are pulling me to you. And therefore, I came to meet you first. And later on, then Mahaprabhu said, okay, now you go be stable here in Puri, and then go and have darshan, prasad, then we'll meet together. So basically, wherever our heart goes, there we are. So wherever our desires are, there we are. If the desire is of sense gratification, then we are away from Krishna. If the desire is to please Krishna, we are with Krishna. It's so easy and so simple for that matter. And therefore, definition of bhakti itself, what is the definition of, simplistic definition of bhakti given by Rupa Goswami is Rushikena Rushikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchate. It's clear cut. crystal clear definition. Bhaktir Uchyate. This is called as bhakti. What it is? Rushikena means by our senses. Rushikesha, who is master of senses, sevate. Rushikena, Rushikesha, sevanam, bhaktir Uchyate. That is called as bhakti. So simple definition. We have senses, and who is the master of senses? Krishna. So through the senses, serving the master of the senses, that is bhakti. So simple. No simplistic definition of bhakti can be found anywhere other than this. And so easy to understand. And there is no doubt that bhakti means to do this, to do that, and so much complications we try to make. But through all our senses, engaging them for the pleasure of Krishna, who is the master of all senses, that is bhakti. So that is what we need to understand. So in general, we discussed about the senses, their usage. They can be used for either gratifying the senses, gratification, enjoyment purpose, or for the purpose of serving Krishna. Now, specifically what we are discussing today, in this verse number 49, is about mouth. And basically, the tongue is being discussed, because eyes, ears are discussed at different places in the same analogy. This verse 45 to 55 discuss all the senses, are going to discuss all these senses. So basically, today's focus is mouth. And Prabhupada says that the tongue, it has got two aspects, eating and speaking. So we are going to discuss these two aspects, speaking and eating aspects of our tongue. Rupa Goswami writes in Bhaktir Samrita Sindhu, Atah Sri Krishna Namadir Na Bhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevon Mukhehi Jivvadav Swayam Eva Spuratyadaha. Atah Sri Krishna Namadi, Lord Krishna's name, form, attributes, nam, ityadi, adi, Atah Sri Krishna Namadi Na Bhaved Grayam Indriyai. We cannot grasp all this through our senses. Sevan mukhehi jivvadav. But when we start serving Krishna, beginning with tongue, Sevan mukhehi jivvadav Swayam eva spuratyadaha, Lord Krishna will reveal himself. So we need to start serving Krishna through these senses, then Krishna will reveal, because Krishna is indriya gochar, agochar. We cannot capture Krishna through our senses, by our Miyagar sadhana bhakti. Krishna can be captured by love. Yes, true. But love of very high-grade devotees like Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, Srimati Radharani. Love of high-grade devotees. We are Miyagar sadhagat. Our love for Lord Krishna is very Miyagar. You know, like point not, and in to the infinite degree, and then at the end one, that much percentage of love compared to all these pure devotees we have. So how can we grasp and capture Krishna through our senses, which are limited? Krishna is unlimited. So unlimited cannot be captured by limited. So what to do? So formula Rupa Goswami gives, Na bhaved grahyam indriya. You cannot capture, first of all. Sevan mukhehi jivvadav swayam eva spratyada. Krishna is going to reveal, but to whom? Who starts serving Krishna? First through tongue, adi. So through our tongue first, when we start serving Krishna, then he will reveal him to us. Okay, serving with our tongue means what then? Prabhupada gives a beautiful purport to this. Nectar of instruction, first verse describes actually all these urges have been talked about. So basically, this tongue is so important that when you know, we tell new people who come to ISKCON, ISKCON just follow this ABCD. A for association, B for book reading, C for chanting, D for diet. So of this basic ABCD, the two elements attribute only to tongue. C for chanting, D for diet. So chanting and diet, two activities of a tongue. We are guiding them to guide the tongue first. So the importance of control of tongue is elaborated at various places throughout our scriptures. Why it is so important? So first of all, we saw that Krishna cannot be captured through our senses, who is unlimited, and our senses have very limited capacity. But we can, when we start using them to serve Krishna as per our capacity, then Krishna is going to reveal. So first of all, we need to understand the importance of tongue control, controlling the tongue. And it has got two aspects, speaking and eating. So first of all, we'll see the importance of tongue control. In 11th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th chapter, there is one very nice verse, shlok number 21. Tavarjitendriyo nasyat vijitanendriya puman na jayet rasanam yavat jitam sarvam jite rase. Although one may conquer all other senses, as long as tongue is not conquered, he cannot be said that he has controlled his senses. Even if a person has controlled all the senses but not the tongue, he cannot be called as controller of the senses. And however, if he is able to control the tongue, then it is understood that he has controlled all the senses. So that much importance is given to the tongue. If everything is controlled but tongue is not controlled, means you are not controlled anything. And if you have controlled the tongue and not anything, then it means that you have controlled everything, all the senses. So the two aspects of this tongue have been addressed in the first verse of Nectar of Instruction. See, Rupa Goswami has written many books. Out of this Upadeshamrita, it's such a book. It is really a nectar. When we read and try to follow, yatta the grey vishamiva, we may feel that, you know, it's like poison. I've been asked to control so many things. But pariname amrutopamam, it's going to be nectar in the end. So therefore it is nectar of instructions. Upadesha amrut. And only 11 verses, fully power packed, given in such a way that when starting from sambandha to prayojan, starting from A to Z, everything is there in those 11 verses. In the first verse, Rupa Goswami mentions Vacho Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam Jivva Vegam Udara Upastha Vegam Etan Vegani Ovishaheta Dira Sarvam Apimam Prativim Sashishat. So Vacho Vegam and Jivva Vegam, these two are talked about in the first verse itself. So Vacho and Jivva, what is the difference? So Vacho is the our ability to speak, the sense of speech. And Jivva Vegam, Jivva is eating propensity of a tongue. So as I said, the two aspects of this tongue are being talked about, the speaking ability and eating tendency. So these two are going to be talked about. One time I was giving a discourse on this first verse of Upadeshamrut. A boy asked me this question. Prabhuji, you are talking about this and the end line actually of this verse is Sarvam Apimam Prithivim Sashishyat. He will be able to be called as the guru of the entire world, or he can make disciples all over the world. So all these controlling of the urges is being talked about for that fellow who wants to rule the world. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to be a guru kind of thing. I'm a simple devotee. I said to him, yes, you are a simple devotee. We have to remain simple devotee. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has ordered us. Amara agya guru haiya tarayai desh. So under the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we all have to become at least our own guru first. Then talk about the world, conquering the world and all that. So these six urges, the controlling the six urges, this is for brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, everyone. So we'll focus on the first aspect, the speaking aspect. We speak. Our tongue want to speak a lot. And a lot many topics are available. Lot many desires are there within our heart and mind. And lot many people are there. And so we keep discussing, keep talking, keep talking, keep talking, keep talking. Nectar of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada gives a beautiful purport when it is talking about the ability to speech. verbatim. I will give Prabhupada's words as they are. Every one of us has a power of speech. As soon as we get an opportunity, we begin to speak. If we do not speak about Krishna consciousness, we speak about all sorts of nonsense. I'll repeat. If we do not speak about Krishna consciousness, we speak about all sorts of nonsense. A toad in a field, Prabhupada gives the analogy, a toad in the field speaks by croaking. And similarly, everyone who has tongue wants to speak, even if all has to say is nonsense. The croaking of a toad, however, simply invites the snake, please come here and eat me. Nevertheless, although it is inviting its death, the toad goes on croaking. It's like a frog croaking. The talking of materialistic men and impersonalist Mayavadi philosophers may be compared to the croaking of frogs. They are always speaking nonsense and thus inviting death to catch them. Controlling speech, however, does not mean self-imposed silence. Very nice point Prabhupada mentions. So we have to control this, our ability or tendency to speak. So I'll remain silent. Prabhupada said, it doesn't mean self-imposed silence. The external process of mauna, as Mayavadi philosophers may think, silence may appear helpful for some time, but ultimately it proves a failure. The meaning of controlled speech conveyed by Srila Rupa Goswami advocates the positive process of Krishna Katha, engaging in speaking process in glorifying the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. The tongue can thus glorify the name, form, qualities and pastimes of the Lord. So basically what we see from the purport of this first verse of NY, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that we have a tendency to speak. And if we are not talking about Krishna, we are going to be talking about something nonsense, what Srila Prabhupada says. So what we need to do to control this tendency of speaking means to give up this nonsense and start talking about Krishna. Chant his holy names, read about him, glorify him, speak Krishna Katha. That's what two devotees they do when they meet each other. Machitta madgada prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 10.10, 10.9. Machitta madgata prana. They consider me to be my life and soul. Machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam. They talk to each other about me. Bodhayanta parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam. They talk about me always, and that is their tushyanti and ramanti. Satisfaction and bliss comes through that process. And therefore we see that everywhere it's been talked about in Srimad Bhagavatam. You open all the cantos, you will find so many verses talking about our ability of speaking and using it for the sake of glorifying Krishna. That's what Srila Prabhupada did when he went in America. He just talked about Krishna. He was doing kirtan. He was speaking about Krishna. He was answering the questions. And if no one was there, he was writing about Krishna. So all these words basically glorifying Krishna. And that's what is the expectation of a devotee. That's what I want. Nalkuvir and Manigriva in Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, 10th chapter, when they were liberated by Lord Krishna, Damodar, what was their prayer? What they wanted from Krishna? Vani gunanu kathane shravanam kathayam hasta uchakarma sumanastava padayornaha smrutyam shirastava nivasa jagat praname drushtihi satam darshane astu bhavattanunam. Oh Lord Krishna, we have taken your darshan now. We want just this benediction. What kind of benediction they wanted? So that we can use all our senses in your service. Vani gunanu kathane. We should use our vani in glorifying you. Shravanam kathayam. Let our ears be engaged in hearing your katha. Hastav cha karmasu. Let our hands be engaged in your service, physical service. and so many. The list goes on and on and on. All the senses, how they need to be engaged. We see, Amrish Maharaj's example is perfect. All the senses, perfectly engaged. 9th canto, 4th chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, verse number 18, 19, 20, talks about how Amrish Maharaj engaged all his senses. Savai manah Krishna padar vindayor vachamsi vaikuntha gunanu varnane karau harer mandira marjanadishu shrutim chakara chuta satkathodaye. Mukundalinga alaya darshane drushav tadbhrutte gatra sparshe anga sangamam granam tatatpada saroja saurabe srimat tulasya rasanam tadarpite. So two senses basically we are talking about. They are coming here. Vachamsi vaikuntha gunanu varnane. He used his vacha, vacho vegam, vacha. Vachamsi vaikuntha gunanu varnane. He used his tongue to glorify Lord Krishna. And rasanam tadarpite. Rasana means eating ability, eating potential of a tongue. Tad arpite. What is offered to Krishna? He would eat that only. So eating those foodstuffs which are offered to Krishna, we'll come to that in a second aspect of eating when we'll take that. First of all, when we're talking about the aspect of talking aspect of her tongue. And therefore, when Ajamila was taken to the court of Yamraj, Yamudutas and Vishnudutas, they all are facing Yamraj, who is Mahajan, out of 12 Mahajans. Swayambhu, Narada, Shammu, Kumaru, Kapulu, Kapilo, Muni, Manuhu, Balir, Vayasaki. So the list goes. So Yamraj himself has spoken this verse. I am also one of those 12 Mahajanas. So he is one of that 12 Mahajans. And he is giving a justice now. Who should be brought to me? Who should not be brought to me? So who should be brought to me? Jivvana vakti bhagvat gunana madheyam chetaschana smarati tacharanarvindam krishnayano namati achira ekadapi tan anayadvam asat akruta vishnu krutyan. Those who are not engaged in Vishnu Krutya, activities of Lord Vishnu, related to Lord Vishnu. Tan anayadvam, bring them. So the first he says, Jivvana vakti bhagvat gunana madheyam. Bring those people whose tongues are not engaged in glorifying the name, form, qualities and pastimes of Lord Hari, bring them to me. Like that, the list goes on and on and on. But our focus is Jivva. The speaking aspect, when it is not engaged in Krishna service and when it is engaged in Maya service, the destination is Yamlok. Because Yamraj is ordering, bring them to me. Those who do not chant glories of Lord Hari, Jivvana Vakti Bhagavad Gunanamadhyam Chetaschana Smarati Tacharanaravindam. Those chitta, those hearts who do not remember the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, bring them. Krishnaya no namati achirayekadapi. Those whose heads never ever bow down even once in front of Lord Krishna, bring them to me. So that is Yamaraja's verdict. And so see, the process given to us is all to save our lives from going to Yamaraj, right? Prabhupada has given us such a process, beautiful process, by which we will not have because all these aspects wherever Yamaraja say bring them to me who don't do this. So let us say 20 aspects are given. Those who don't do this, bring them to me. Prabhupada has picked up that list of 20 and given to us, follow this. So that has become our sadhana, right? We bow down to the deities in the temple, we chant the names of Krishna, we remember the lotus feet of the Lord, we take darshan. So such an amazing process is given that the visit to Yamlok has to be cancelled and the ticket to Golok has to be booked. Such a process, wonderful process. And therefore in second canto itself, in Srimad Bhagavatam, it said, Jivvasati dar durikeva suta nocho pagayan gayati Urugaya Gatha, that tongue which does not chant the glories of the Lord is called as Asati. Now Sati means chaste. Asati means unchaste. That tongue which do not glorify Lord is called as Asati. Unchaste is the positive word. it is prostitute, basically. So when the tongue, which is not used to glorify Krishna or speak the topics related to Krishna, that tongue is compared to prostitute by saying this asati. So it becomes unchaste. So we can show our chastity to Krishna by using our sense of speech to glorify, to chant his holy names, to glorify him, to glorify devotees, and to always do Krishna Katha. And therefore, nectar of instruction, Prabhupada writes. Next, he says, the conclusion Prabhupada gives, the conclusion is that only when we talk about devotional service to Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can refrain from useless, nonsensical talk. We should always endeavor to use our speaking power solely for the purpose of realizing Krishna consciousness. That is Srila Prabhupada's words. So this is the first aspect we discuss about the speaking ability of a tongue. What Narad Muni is talking to Prachin Barhi through the analogy of Puranjan and explaining the gate, the mouth and the tongue in it. The first aspect was the ability to speak. And the second aspect we will discuss is now the eating aspect. Pachavegam we discussed. Now it is Jivva Vegam. The controlling the our eating. Nectar of instruction, Srila Prabhupada writes, again I'll read same words what Srila Prabhupada mentions. As for the urges of the tongue, we all experience that the tongue wants to eat palatable dishes. Generally, we should not allow the tongue to eat according to its choice, but should control the tongue by supplying prasad. The devotee's attitude is that he will eat only when Krishna gives him prasad. That is the way to control the urge of the tongue. One should take prasad at scheduled times and should not eat in restaurants or sweetmeat shops simply to satisfy the whims of the tongue or belly. If we stick to this principle of taking only prasad, the urges of the belly and the tongue can be controlled. We may say that, you know, I'm unable to control my tongue. What is the reason? So it may be that we might not be eating sometimes prasadam or eating those foodstuffs which are not offered to Krishna. Right? To the such an extent, Srimad Bhagavatam explains, again, 11th canto, it said, Jivvaya ati pramatinya janah rasa vimohitah murtyum ruchati asad buddhihi meenah tu badi shair yatha. Jivvaya, by the tongue, ati pramathinya, which is extremely disturbing. We all know how disturbing the tongue is when it comes to eating. Jivvaya ati pramathinya janah rasa vimohitah. Rasana is the word used. Rasa vimohita, being allured by the palates. Jana means the person. Rasa vimohita, bewildered by attraction of the taste. Murtyam ruchati, what is the destination? When a person is bewildered by his sense of taste because of this tongue, jivva, then what is his destination? Murtyam ruchati, he attains death. Basically, he meets Yamaraj. Murtyam ruchati asat buddhi. His intelligence has become asat. Prabhupada translates as, Prabhupada disciples, they are translated as asat means useless. Asat buddhi, whose intelligence has become useless, and the example is given. Meenastu badishayar yatha. Meenaha means fish. And badisha means the hook, which is used for fishing purposes. So the fish, Prabhupada mentions that for fish, everything is available in the water, right? Foodstuffs. But the tongue attracts the fish towards that bait, which the fisherman has kept. He wants to taste that. Like we want, new hotel is opened. Let us go, let us go, let us go. Our tongue pulls us in that direction. Very tasty, at least once. So that tongue pulls in that direction. And So like this fish is getting attracted, though there's ample stuff created. You know, that fisherman is the well-wisher of the fish. Rather, that the fisherman is Yamraj for fish, right? He uses that bait in the hook, and when the fish goes, tries to enjoy and gets hooked, and then gives up its life as well. Patanga, matanga, kuranga, bringa, meena, hata, pancha, bireba, pancha. All these five elements are there. Five senses are like five horses pulling to us in different directions. And when they pull us in different directions, what is the destination of the rathi, the soul? We can imagine, you know, no proper direction. So therefore, when senses are controlled, means all the horses go in single direction. Imagine the speed and the velocity with which it can go, move ahead. Tivrena bhakti yogena. So that tivrata can come when the senses are controlled. And therefore, it is very, very crucial aspect for a sadhana, sadhaka to discuss this, to follow this, and to apply this in our life. Prabhupada writes, only prasadam should be taken. And Prabhupada in this same first verse of Nectar of Instruction, while giving a purport, quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sharira Avidya Jal Jadendriya Taheka Jive Fele Vishay Sagaritar Madhya Jivati, whole prayer he has mentioned. I don't know any other purport wherein Prabhupada has given Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sharira Vidya Jal full prayer. It's the only verse, Nectar of Instruction, first verse, wherein the full prayer is given by Srila Prabhupada. And Krishna also talks about that in Bhagavad Gita. The two aspects Krishna has mentioned, what Krishna is mentioning, same aspects Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport. Bhagavad Gita 3.13, Yadne Shishtashina Santo Muchante Sarva Kilvishai Bhunjate Te Twagam Papa Ye Pachanti Atma Karanat. Those who cook for themselves and their own satisfaction, they are verily eating sins only. So therefore, if we want to live a sinless life, we should cook for Krishna, eat that prasadam. So this first aspect, and Krishna says that while eating aspect in Bhagavad Gita chapter number 6, which is entitled as Atma Sanyama Yoga, verse number 17, Krishna says, Yukta Ahara Viharasya Yukta Cheshtasya Karmasu Yukta Swapnava Bodhasya Yogo Bhavati Dukha Dukha Ha. All your miseries of life will go away. Dukha Ha is the killer of all your miseries. What is the killer of all miseries? I want all my miseries to go. What should I do? Tell me. Krishna says, Yukta Ahara Vihar Yukta Cheshtasya Karmasu Yukta Swapnava Bodhasya. That is called as yoga, regulated. Srila Prabhupada, as I read before in this tongue aspect, Srila Prabhupada said that one should be regulated in one's eating. In the initial days, Prabhupada used to make the iskon bullets, you know, gulab jam, rasgulla, and so much of food stuff, and full belly, he would feed them. But the later on, then Srila Prabhupada reduced. Then they asked, Prabhupada, you used to give us a lot in the beginning, but now you are reduced. You are asking us to control. Prabhupada counter questioned them. You didn't ask in the beginning why I am giving you more. And you are asking me now why I am asking you to control. You didn't ask that time, so don't ask this time also. Control, because I am asking it. So basically, the point is, Prabhupada did ask us to take prasadam, and we have to take honor prasadam. We should take prasadam only. But it's cooked by whom, served by whom, eaten by whom. All these aspects are important. Therefore, Chaitanya Charitamrita, read 6th chapter of Antyalila, dealing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Raghunath Das Goswami. Jivvare lalase iti uti dhai shishnodar parayana krishna nahi pai. Jivvare lalase iti uti dhai. Because of desire to satisfy the tongue, iti uti dhai, when you run here and there, this hotel, this restaurant, this place, that place, run here and there, Shishna Udara Parayan, he becomes controlled by the urges of belly and genitals. Krishna nahi pai. Jivir lal se iti uti dhai, Krishna nahi pai. So the result is you will not be able to attain Krishna if you are not able to control the tongue. And therefore, Elan Kant also, Srimad Bhagavatam, we discuss the same verse. When he has controlled the tongue, it means all the senses are controlled. But even if one has controlled all the other senses except tongue, it means nothing is controlled. That much importance is given to the tongue. And that's how we neglect the importance of speaking and eating abilities and controlling the tongue. Dharpa Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has strictly asked, when Raghunath Das Goswami would, we know that his father Gordhan Mujumdar had sent a brahmana as well as some money to Raghunath Das Goswami. And then Raghunath Das Goswami then used to cook and invite Lord Chaitanya. And then Lord Chaitanya, out of love, would go. And all of a sudden, he stopped. And he started begging. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Swarup Damodar, what is happening? No more invitations from Raghunath Das. He said that he has stopped. And he is considering that because he has taken money from materialistic people. And how can he feed Lord Chaitanya? Ah, bhala hila. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, very good. I wanted that only. That he should not invite me. But because he was inviting and I had to go out of love, there was no other option left. And then Mahaprabhu says, very important verse. Vishaira anna khaile malina hoya man, malina mana hoilana he Krishnera smarana. Remember, Krishna smarana. All the scriptural essence is talked about in one verse. Smartavyam satatam Vishnur vismartavyam na jatu sarva vidhi nishchedasyur etayor eva kinkarah. All the rules and regulations of subservant, servant and the servant of the servant of these two regulative principles. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Smartavyam satatam Vishnur vismartavyam na jatu chit. So Krishna, this is the goal of our life. Krishna smaran. And then Mahaprabhu says, nahe Krishna smaran. You will not be able to remember Krishna. Oh, what is that thing by which I will not be able to remember Krishna? I will be deprived of the goal of my life. What is that? Malina mana haile. When your mind is contaminated, you will not be able to remember Krishna. Oh, please tell us, what makes our mind malina? And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Vishaira anna khaile malina hoya man. Malina mana haile na he Krishna rasmarana. When you eat Vishaira anna, anyone who has cooked for the purpose of sense gratification, anyone has motto of sense gratification behind that cooking, anyone eats for the purpose of sense gratification, that is Vishaira Anna. That makes your man malina, mind is contaminated, and that takes away your Krishna smarana. So this tongue, which can reveal Krishna to us, Sevan Mukehi Jivvadiv Spuratyadaha, that is going to give us Puran of Krishna, the same tongue can make us Nahe Krishnera Smarana. It can take our remembrance of Krishna away. So the same tongue can give us remembrance of Krishna and same tongue can take us Smarana of Krishna away. And there are verses for that. I am supporting verses Turante Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita, 6th chapter, 278 verse number. You can note down. So the same tongue can give us Krishna Smarana. NOD by Rupa Goswami, Nectar of Devotion, Bhaktir Samar Sindhu. Atha Sri Krishna Namadi, Na Bhavet Garayam Indriyai, Sevan Mukhe Jivadu Swayam Eva Spuratida. Krishna is going to give Spurana. So that Spurana is possible when we. And Prabhupada translates that verse. How he translates? Using our tongue to chant the holy names and eating prasadam. See, these two aspects are talked about at all the places. Whenever tongue comes, Prabhupada writes both the aspects. Ability of speech, ability to speak and ability to eat, means the tendency to eat and tendency to speak. So that can give us Krishna's Purana. And when not used in Krishna conscious way, Nahe Krishnera Smarana, that can take away Krishna Smarana away. So we have to remember whenever we are speaking. So this is like a gate, you know. Therefore, this analogy talks about gate. We are all careful at all the other gates. You go to a company, the gate is top secured. Even in temple, we need security, right? So the gate has to be secured. Once the gate is secured, inside is guaranteed. It is guaranteed. Then some CCTV somewhere here and there will be enough. But the top security is provided at the inlet, at the gate only. So similarly, what goes in and what goes out, we have to be very concerned when it comes to mouth. Because it is the sense wherein things are going out also, through the form of speech. Through eyes, nothing goes out. Through ears, nothing goes out. Only inlet, only input is there. Right? Through skins, only input is there. The only sense which has got the output as well is the tongue, through speech. So the words we use, we have to be very meticulous. We have to have a guard, a constant guard, 24/7, at our mouth. What we are going to speak, what is good. Like security guard. I remember when I was working with HAL in Nasik here in India, there are two security gates, one for going in, another for going out. And the security guards would check at both the points while entering, while going out as well, whether the employee is not taking something which he is not supposed to take. So while going out also, there is a security check. While going in also, there is a security check. So similarly, we should have a security check at the tongue. While going in, food, are you offered to Krishna? Okay, you go in. Food not offered to Krishna? No entry. Okay, what is going out? The words are going out. Okay. Now, related to Krishna? Okay. Related to my sustenance? Okay. Prajalpa? No, nothing going out. Then we need to have a security check. Security check. A constant security check is required at our mouth, this gate. So when we do that, then Krishna Smarana will become easy for us. Why it's become difficult? Because our security guard, there is no security guard only. I was about to say security guard is sleeping, but there is no security guard only. We are not having any security guard at our senses, you know. And therefore, at our senses, we need to, you see, the gates are lighted, right? Always the gates are lighted. Like even when, before, like we went to cinema theater last year to show all the devotees a movie, Hare Krishna movie in a theater. So when first time after coming into devotional life, when we went to a theater, like we saw the doors, at the doors are lighted, exit, it's written in a neon light, exit in. So the gates has to be lighted so that we can see. So similarly, all these gates have to be lighted. We can see what is going in, what is going out. We need to be concerned, and for that we need mode of goodness. Mode of goodness is compared to light. Bhagavad Gita 14th chapter, name itself is Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga. It talks about three modes of material nature. Sarvadvareshu deheshmin prakasha upajayate jnanam yadatada vidyat vivruddham satvamityuta. So increase the mode of goodness, you will enlighten the gates. Sarvadvareshu deheshmin prakasha upajayate. Krishna is saying prakash, there will be light at all the gates. Dvareshu, dvar means gate. At all the gates there will be light. Sarvadvareshu deheshmin prakasha upajayate. When there is vivrud, satvam vivruddhe. When there is increased mode of goodness, you will be able to clearly see what is happening at the gate. So when we increase the mode of sattvagun, and how that can be increased is a great science. We had one time a whole class on three modes on the same forum. So when we increase the mode of sattvagun, and basically eating prasad and regulating its activity, that also will increase the mode of goodness. So they are interdependent on each other. So when we do that, our Krishna smaran becomes easy. And we can smoothly march forward on the path towards Krishna. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the lecture, Prabhuji. Actually, I had one doubt. I didn't understand the pastime you told of of that one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. Like I didn't understand. I heard what you said, but I didn't understand what was the like the whole gist of it. Yeah.
The gist of it is that Ramananda Rai said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu basically asks Ramananda Rai. It comes in Madhya Lila chapter number 11. Ramananda Mahaprabhu asks Ramananda Rai, why did you come to meet me first? You should have gone for darshan first. And then Ramananda Rai gives the analogy that my heart followed my legs. So my legs came here. Basically, he wanted to say that my heart is the master, and in my heart, they guided my legs, and therefore I'm here. So in my heart, I had a strong desire to meet you. So the point I was making is that where the senses will go wherever our desires are. So he had a desire to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, his legs went in that direction. That was the point.
Okay. Thank you, Babu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandotpranam, Avadhishtha Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji, as always. You know, so many points you have covered. So, Prabhuji, as you said, Yamaraja has said that whose tongue is not engaged in glorifying Krishna, they will bring them. So, Prabhuji, see, we chant every day and we engage our tongue in Krishna's service. But sometimes, you know, mind goes here and there. So, does he said anything about that? Yamaraja said anything about that?
Yeah, Yamaraja said about the devotees as well. That whom to bring and whom not to bring. So, when he talked about whom to bring and whom not to bring. So, basically, all those descriptions about whom to bring, if you read, this is in 6th canto, 3rd chapter, Bhagavatam. So when you read that, all those things related to whom to bring, they're all like atheist non-devotees. And whom not to bring, as I mentioned, whom not to bring, whatever description is given by Yamaraj, Srila Prabhupada has picked up that and given to us as a sadhana. So when we do that, we don't go to Yamaraj.
Thank you, Prabhuji. And Prabhuji, also you said ABCD, the ISKCON follows ABCD. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, A stands for Association of Devotees. B is reading books. Basically, our scriptures. C for chanting the holy names of the Lord. And D is basically the diet, the prasadam which we use for nourishing our bodies and souls. So that is D. So if anyone wants to make a progress in bhakti, then he has to follow this ABCD strictly. Associate with devotees, read Srila Prabhupada's books, chant the holy names daily, and always take Krishna Prasadam. So when we do that, and actually it has a link actually. I was just searching. I got this ABCD through some devotees, and this has been talked about since a long. But during my study of Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was explaining to Sanatana Goswami the 64 limbs of devotional service, therein Mahaprabhu talks about the 5 potent forms of devotional service. Sadhu Sangha, Nama Kirtan, Bhagavata Shravan, Mathuravas, Srimurti, Rashraddhaya, Sevan. These are 5 aspects. Sadhusanga, that means association. Namakirtan, that is chanting. Bhagavata Shravan. Mathuravas is Dhamvas. And Srimurti, Rashraddhaya, Sevan. Worshipping the deities. So that last D can stand for deity worship as well, means taking darshan of the Lord. And last D can stand for Dhamvas also. So when we surround ourselves with conducive environment like Dham, then our bhakti advances. Like we know, when we go in Kartik to Vrindavan or Mayapur, Jagannath Puri, other Dhams, we get connected to the Lord through that potency of Dham. Krishna consciousness becomes easy. So these five potent forms of devotional service. So when we connect ourselves, and this ABCD is basically this coming out of these five potent forms only, which was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So of the 64 limbs, he said these five are more important and prominent.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. We are very fortunate to have you on the call, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanyavad Pranam. Thank you for the wonderful class. Prabhuji, you spoke about prasadam and who prepares it and all that. But even at home, speaking for myself also, while cooking, more than thinking of our deities, I tend to think of the family members, whose favorite is what, who can take spice, who cannot take spice. So how do we change our mindset instead of thinking for our family members to think of our deities?
Why? Because family members speak to us and Lord doesn't speak to us. Therefore, we don't know his choices. But pure devotees, they know choices of the Lord. So in the beginning stage of our sadhana, what I like, I offer to Krishna. And the latter stage is what Krishna likes, I do that. So till the point we don't know what Krishna likes, till that point, we offer to Krishna what we like. So, yes, actually, it is not wrong to think about our well-being as well. Because in Ayurveda also, it is mentioned that one should eat from these two persons to regain physical health. One is mother of a person and another is wife of a person. So because they are constantly thinking about the well-wishing of that family member, that this person should be good. So to think about their good, considering them as part and parcel of Krishna, actually you are thinking about well-being of Krishna only. When you have this consciousness that they're also part and parcel of Krishna and they're going to partake in prasadam afterwards, that is going to nourish them physically, mentally, emotionally, as well as spiritually. So when you keep this consciousness, and we do recommend, when we cook, we can play Prabhupada tape in the background or some kirtan which you like, you nourishing kirtans. So when you do that, because that items, they are spiritualized, right? Like Mother Yashoda, while churning the butter, what she would do? Bhagavatam 10th canto 9th chapter very beautifully describes the activity. Dadi nirmanthane kale smaranti tanyagayata yani yani ha gitani tadbala charitani cha dadi nirmanthane kale smaranti tanyagayata gayata. So Mother Yashoda, while she was making the butter, her consciousness was, she was making it for Krishna, but at the same time she was glorifying Krishna. Dadi nirmanthane kale, at the time of doing manthan, what she was doing? Smaranti. She was remembering Krishna, and tanya gayata, and she was singing about his activities. So we may not be able to think about Krishna, and that may be a little high, but at least we can sing about Krishna, we can hear about Krishna while cooking. So that is the way how we spiritualize our cooking process, and that process becomes spiritualized. Then we offer, then that itself is a spiritually potent activity. And then we honor prasad. That also is another equally important, potent spiritual activity. So through this entire process, we become Krishna conscious. So when we develop this habit of singing to kirtan, glorifying something, while at the time of cooking, you'll see the difference in consciousness level, certainly.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Dhanyavad Pranam. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Prabhuji, I'm Haripriya Devidasi. Very nice. This is first time I heard your lecture, and it was very, very clear explanation and very helpful. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for this wonderful class. A lot of instructions and a lot of good information. So thank you, Prabhuji, for that. Does anybody has any more questions for Prabhuji at this point?
So we can leave, I think. It's already time to go.
Right.
I hope you're all fine.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, yes, Prabhuji. So thank you so much, Prabhuji, once again for this wonderful class.
And thank you all.
All to you, and really look forward to having your association again in the future. With that, we would like to wrap up this call. Would you once again?
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Wonderful class.